Let's turn in God's word once again to Psalm 13. Psalm number 13. This is a Psalm of David. Let's read it together. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today, we ask. Lord, open our hearts to receive thy truth. O Lord, speak, we pray, with thy voice today. We thank you for the means of broadcasting and communicating, but we realize that unless the voice of God is heard, then this is in vain. And therefore, above the voice of the preacher, may the voice of the Lord be heard, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, no matter what the condition of the person, we pray this message will be a word in season. Bring sinners unto thyself. Bring the backslider back to the Lord. Encourage God's people. And Lord, may we know after this message preached, signs following the preaching of the word of God. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness, for thy promises. And I pray, Lord, for the promised Holy Ghost. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. And give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy precious and holy name. These things I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. In previous years, I had preached a series of messages, and it was from Psalm 1 through to Psalm number 12. And certainly I had hoped to continue on at some point in the future. And I believe the Lord has led me to come to Psalm 13 for this week and then to continue in the Psalms for a few weeks at this time, continuing this series for a little while in the will of the Lord. The Psalms are wonderful. Whenever you come to the book of Psalms, you'll find every experience that the human emotion can have. And it's all here detailed for us. There are times when we feel angry. There are times when we're heartbroken. Times when our hearts are so glad we're almost bursting forth with joy. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're lonely. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we are just at peace. And you know, every single one of these emotions and many, many more are found in the book of Psalms. And you know, the Lord makes no mistakes, because whenever I read this psalm and I realized the themes and the contents within it, what a psalm for today. This is the word of God, the living word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is a word that's meaningful today because the Lord is speaking through it. I want us to look at these verses simply by dividing the psalm into three parts, verses 1 and 2, then verses 3 and 4, and finally verses 4 and 5. And the title of this message today is simply, How Long? Let's look at the first two verses. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? As we think over the circumstances and the conversations of the past few days, I wonder how many times we've uttered the words, how long? How long will we have to stay at home? How long will this virus be a threat? How long will daily life be interrupted the way that it is? How long? How long? How long? Now, every single one of us in our lifetimes has gone through difficult, trying, confusing, hurtful, fearful, troublesome, and worrying times. We can think of past days when we faced very dark experiences. Even in this present climate, with this pandemic, the threat of illness and death, and the disruption to our normal routines, many people have been left shaken and anxious. Some are worried for loved ones, frontline workers and their friends. We were praying in our opening prayer this morning for those of this congregation, and they're out there. They're continuing to work, and they are so important in society at this time, and we pray that the Lord will protect them and bless them. There are many people that we cannot go and meet with in person, and that gives an added dimension to this pressure that is upon us. I want to say that it's natural to feel anxious and worried about such matters. Sometimes, you know, when we're talking to people, we put on a bit of a front, don't we? Oh, I'm okay. I'm doing well, thanks. All's grand, when we're really not okay at all. Sometimes we try and suppress our fears and our worries, our concerns and our cares before God, and we're really not honest with the Lord about the things that trouble us, even though the Lord knows. And he does not ask us to bear our burdens alone, and he does not expect us to somehow sail through life with all its cares. Rather, he tells us of several things that we can do to deal with our troubles. Dear believer, maybe today you have had a week that's gone into eternity, and it's been a week of anxiety, fear, and worry. Well, listen to these things that the Lord tells us to do. Firstly, he tells us to come into his presence. Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And we're in a time of need. And we have a God who wants to give us help and grace in this time, and we have to come. And what an encouragement there is to come is found in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And any experience that we have to go through in life, the Lord has been through it before, yet without sin. So he's able to sympathize with us, and he's able to empathize with us. So that's the first thing you do, dear troubled believer, come into his presence. Secondly, cast all your care upon him. 1 Peter 5 and 17, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 55 and 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Give your burden unto the Lord. Be honest with the Lord. Tell him your fears. Tell him your worries. Tell him your concerns. So we come into his presence. We cast our cares upon him. And then thirdly, we continue in his blessings. Even though there are circumstances that are difficult, God's blessings do not cease. God has special blessings and, yes, conditional blessings. And if we come and cast our care upon him, there are some wonderful blessings that we can expect and claim and enjoy. For example, in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the promise comes, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that little statement, which passeth all understanding. Humanly speaking, you shouldn't have peace within your heart. There's a virus in this world. It's claiming lives. It's threatening our society. But the word of God speaks about the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In every circumstance, God can give peace. But you'll notice that that comes after the person has come in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting their requests be made known unto God. In Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, a favorite passage of mine as well, which I often read in hospitals, thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord. Think upon him. Consider him and you'll find your heart being lifted up. And you know, this is exactly what David does in this psalm. He comes into God's presence, he casts his care upon the Lord, and then he continues in his blessings. Like some of the psalms, it starts with complaint, but finishes with praise. He starts cast down, but he concludes looking up. The great problem is when we think we cannot be honest with God. How sad. He is willing to listen and he is willing to help us. And David was honest with God. He brought his problems and his cares and his concerns, irrational as they were, before the Lord. You know, sometimes when we get to circumstances like this, we can look back in life and say, it was easier back then. It was better in the good old days. But God doesn't want us to live in the past. God has called us to live in the present. And there's a lovely verse in Ecclesiastes 7 and 10, and it says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? In other words, why was it so good back then? And just live away back in those days. No, live in the here and now. Don't live in the past, but bring the reality of the present before you and present it before the Lord. Honestly, bring your concerns and feelings before God. One of the old Bible commentators, John Gill, says, when God does not immediately deliver his people from their enemies or help them out of an affliction, when he does not show his love or communicate his grace or apply the blessings and promises of his covenant as usual, and when he does not visit them in his usual manner, as so frequently he has formerly done, they are ready to conclude he has forgotten them. And sometimes this continues long, and then they fear they are forgotten forever. And that's what verses 1 and 2 are expressing. David feels abandoned. It's important to note that David is not saying that God has abandoned him or that God has forsaken him. We know that that was not David's faith and that was not David's testimony. We read the Psalms. But his circumstances are so heavy upon him that he feels that way. It appears to be that way to him and to those around him, especially his enemies. And therefore he's asking the question, Lord, how long? How long will this be? It's often a question we ask in difficult times. How long will this last? When life is easier and joyful, time just seems to fly. You don't look at your watch and say, oh, I wonder how long this blessing is going to last. I wonder how long we're going to be joyful. No, it's so swift, isn't it? But when it's hard, it seems to drag so slowly. Someone once said, a week within prison walls is longer than a month at liberty. And maybe that's how you felt this week. For the first time, you've been confined to your house for almost 7 days. And it's felt like just such a long time. One Bible commentator makes this remark about David's complaint. He had apparently borne these problems as long as he could. It seemed as if they would never come to an end. We may presume that he had been patient and uncomplaining, that he had borne his trials long with the hope and belief that they would soon terminate, that he had waited patiently for deliverance, uttering no words of complaint, but now he begins to despair. He feels that his troubles will never end. And maybe that's how you feel. Not necessarily about this pandemic, but maybe there's something in your life. How long will I feel this way, Lord? How long will my circumstances overwhelm me? And how long will I feel discouraged? See, David says in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? He feels forgotten forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And the question is, does anybody care what I'm going through? Does anybody really know? Is the Lord interested at all? And these little doubts would start to come. And then not only does he feel forgotten and not only does he feel alone, but he also feels sorrow. says there, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? And the thought here is this, that taking counsel in his soul, trying to think within himself and to come up with some way to get out of his problem, to change his circumstances, and he's tried to think of, you know what? All his plans have come to nothing. They failed. And he is continually having a period of distress and trouble. He says there's sorrow in his heart daily. There's no let up in this prolonged experience. He isn't getting over it. He isn't coming to the end of it. He doesn't really feel that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And then it also says in verse number 2, in the second part, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? He not only feels forgotten, alone, sorrowful, but he also feels defeated. He feels defeated. It seems to be that the enemy is prospering in whatever he does. The devil's plans and projects seem to have much more success and prosperity than the plans and the projects of the people of God. The unsaved seem to live against God. Many are arrogant in the face of God, against the Lord, against the gospel, against the truth, and yet they seem or they appear to prosper. And this can be very draining and distressing for the child of God who's trying to be faithful, yet it seems that wickedness is prospering. And the godly are losing ground. Ultimately, he's feeling, I'm on my own, and even though I'm trying to obey the Lord and live for him, it seems that I have been forgotten. David would not be the first and only one in the Bible to make this complaint or to feel this way. For example, Isaiah 49, verse 14, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have the compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And in this particular passage, there's a beautiful reminder for the people of God who feel, nobody cares, nobody worries. I've been forgotten about. There's a promise, I will not forget thee. God says he will never forget us. Praise the Lord, he always thinks about us, whether it's day, whether it's night, whether we're waking or sleeping, whether we're doing what's right or even when we're doing what's wrong. God's eye is upon us always. Not only that, there is a perpetual reminder because, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and in glory there's one who stands before the Father praying, making intercession for us, and in his hands there's the marks of the nails, those for whom he has died. Yeah, oh, there's a promise he will not forget. There's a perpetual reminder in the very hands of God. And there's prayer. Because whenever we go into John's Gospel and read that great high priestly prayer of Christ, we're reminded that he's praying for his people. Not that the Lord would take us out of the world, but that the Lord would keep us faithful in the world. Interestingly, the Lord also uttered these words. How long? Whenever the Lord called his people out of Egypt and they asked Pharaoh to let the people go, Pharaoh refused, and we read in Exodus 10, verse 3, Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. What a solemn thought. Wicked rulers rejecting and refusing God and his commands and his laws. And friend, we know what happened. Whenever Pharaoh refused to obey God, God humbled him. God humbled the proud and the arrogant Pharaoh. You know what Pharaoh said? Who is this God that I should obey him? Pharaoh, he's your creator. Pharaoh, he holds your life in his hand. Pharaoh, he will be your judge. Many people today, and they're running about, who is this God? And the Lord says, how long will thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Friend, if God has been speaking to your heart and you've been rejecting him, what a dangerous, foolish position you place yourself in. Because if you will not humble your heart, God can humble you. God can humble you. God already has humbled many people in recent days. But friend, he can humble you. And then in Exodus 16:28, the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? What a sad question. God was wearied by the disobedience of his children. I wonder, as God looks upon my life and as he looks upon your life, dear believer, does God say, how long? How long will you go in disobedience and refuse to keep my commands and my laws? But coming back to Psalm 13, there is great temptation whenever we feel, just like the psalmist does, and we feel it's not worth it. Or we feel we ought to have a pity party. Poor me, there's nobody like me, and nobody suffered like me, and nobody knows what I've been going through. Or there's temptation even at times when we feel rejected to walk away from God or to make foolish accusations against the Lord. Where is God in the midst of all this? Oh, don't accuse God with fully sinful words. Don't do that. Listen to these words of advice from the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy it. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. And this is exactly what the writer does in verses 3 and 4. He makes his request before the Lord. Yes, he's poured out his heart and his complaint and how he feels, irrational as it may seem. But he's honest before God. And then he makes requests before the Lord in verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. The prayer that is made by the psalmist in these verses is based on truth that the psalmist has had revealed to him by the Lord. And there are three themes in this prayer in verses 3 and 4. First of all, consider and hear me. Consider and hear me. Now, this is a familiar cry from the psalmist. Psalm 5:1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Psalm 9, verse 13, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. But at this time, he's saying, Lord, consider me. And that means to look intently at, to see, to regard with pleasure, with favor, or with care. Now, of course, when we ask the Lord to consider us, we're asking him to search us. And in doing this, we must be doing it honestly and openly, willing that if there's something wrong and the Lord puts his finger upon it, that we will put it right, that we might be like him. And this is the right prayer for the believer to pray. He's really praying, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Look upon me. Lord, consider me. Bless me. Look in favor upon me. How can the Lord look in favor upon anyone? Well, when he looks upon them through Christ. And therefore, that is the only basis we have to plead the blessings, the promises, and the provisions of God through Christ. And that's what he's saying. Lord, consider me. He is not asking the Lord to consider him in his sin, but to consider him in Christ. And then there's also specific communication. David's not just saying, Lord, bless me, but he is specific in his request and he leaves his heart before the Lord. He talks to the Lord. There is something poured out before the Lord. He communicates with the Lord. And we need many things every day that we live. And in times of trial, we need extra things to help us through. But praise God, there is special grace for special times. And I'm reminded of the verse in James 4, verse 2, ye have not because ye ask not. And sometimes God's people live in spiritual poverty because they do not communicate with God and they will not ask the Lord for the things that they need. God is willing to give. God is able to give. God wants to give and bless you, but you have to ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Had this man just brought his complaint before the Lord and asked nothing of God, how miserable he would have been. Friend, we have a book that is full of promises and blessings for us to bring before God. And we can say, oh Lord, bless me. Hear and answer the requests that I make. Listen to my prayer. Remember the verse I quoted at the start, Hebrews 4:16? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, I'm weak today. And Lord, I need thy grace. And you promised sufficient grace. And I'm claiming it. Lord, I'm taking you at your word. Lord, fulfill thy promise in my life. I ask in Jesus' name. Maybe you have accused God of forgetting you. Dear believer, maybe you have made that accusation against God. God's forgotten about me. God doesn't bother with me. But the reality is, in your life, it's not that God hasn't been bothering with you. The reality is you have neglected God. And what you feel in your life is a coldness and an apathy. And maybe this pandemic around you has made it just all the more real that you're missing fellowship with God. There is nothing wrong on the Lord's side. There's nothing wrong with God's care for his people. There's nothing wrong with God's love or God's faithfulness or God's promises. The problem's on your side. Perhaps you need to get back to the place of praying and requesting the blessings of God. Honoring him first in your life, thanking him for what he has done and praising him for what he has promised to do. Take me back to the place where I started. Lord, break these chains and let me go free. I can't stay away any longer. Take me back, Lord, to Calvary. And praise the Lord for the backslider. The Lord can and will restore unto you the joy of his salvation. And not only does he make requests specifically, we read this little statement, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, this petition is a request for renewed strength. Remember, the Hebrew language is very pictorial. And therefore, when he talks about lightening my eyes, the thought is when a man is weak or weary, even whenever he's coming near the end of life, his eyes are heavy and dull. And that's a picture of weakness. But good health lightens the eyes. You know, we can be made weary with the troubles of this world, and we can feel drained and weak, spiritually speaking. And here David really is saying, Lord, I believe that you are the fountain of life and the fountain of strength and the fountain of blessing. Therefore, Lord, lighten my eyes. Lord, give me strength within my soul. He's speaking about that spiritual strength and vitality and power to live a life that brings glory to God. You know, even someone weary in the body and weak in the body, even the body dying, can still have spiritual strength, vitality, and power to glorify God. And you'll often find that that's exactly what happens for someone who's walking with the Lord, and the body maybe starts to feel, but the Lord gives strength. Lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest I be completely powerless and completely without hope, spiritually speaking. Friend, even in our weakest moments, physically we can be strong in the Lord spiritually. Remember the words of Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. And every time we come into God's presence with clean hands and a pure heart, every time we open the word sincerely and seek for him, every time we pray faithfully, well then we will know that restoring of our soul. And he is the God that giveth everything that we need. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Not only does he pray that the Lord would bless him through Christ, not only does he pray the Lord would strengthen him, but then he prays for a testimony in verse 4. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Do you know, we all have enemies. Our enemies as believers are principally the world, the system of the world, the flesh, the sinful nature, and the devil. We would seek to fight against and destroy, or all of those, would seek to fight against and destroy the Lord's testimony, the Lord's people, the Lord's church. And it's important for God's people to know who their enemy is. The system of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Other believers are not the enemy. And how sad when we see believers setting themselves against each other and fighting each other and taking up with some silly fight when people around them, unsaved, are going to hell. You know, Paul, the great apostle, acknowledged that he had many battles in his life as well. He said in Romans 7, verse 15, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. The things that I want to do, sometimes there's such a battle, I don't bother doing them. The things that I don't want to do, sometimes there's been such a battle, I just end up doing them. And we all have struggled like that. And you know, the psalmist is saying, Lord, bless me, answer my requests, strengthen me so that I will be victorious in thy power. That the world, the flesh, and the devil will not have cause to rejoice in my life because they have removed me from my love for thee or from my walk with you. Ultimately, he's saying that the Lord would give him a good testimony. That the enemies would not prosper. The devil would not prosper in our lives. The flesh would not prosper. And the system of the world and the influence of the world would not prosper. Rather, what is a good testimony when we are like our Savior? And that's what he's praying for. He prays that he would not be moved. Praise the Lord, there's a rock, a solid rock, Christ Jesus, that cannot be moved by this world, by the devil, or by the flesh. And the psalmist is praying to be more like a Savior. That his life would speak to others of the power of God, because no man can stand against the enemies of the soul, but we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Only God can cause us to be overcomers through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful prayer. Maybe you think something, I'm not sure what to pray for. Well, here's three things. Lord, consider me and hear me. Bless me. And specifically, Lord, that's what I'm praying about. And then you could also say, lighten mine eyes. Lord, strengthen me spiritually. And then, Lord, give me victory over my enemies. Don't allow them to get a foothold in my life, but give me strength to stand strong as a believer that I might bring glory to thee and people might know that it's thy power that keeps me going on. Now, having made these requests, we see another change in tone. We've had complaint, We've had the requests in verse 3 and 4, and now in verses 5 and 6, the psalm ends with praise. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You see, there's realization here, and there's resolution. Realization and resolution. First of all, what does he realize? Well, look at some of these statements. He says, I have trusted in thy mercy. I have trusted in thy mercy. He realizes that God's mercies are toward him. They are everlasting. Says in Psalm 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And therefore, the mercy of God is always toward his people. And he remembers, as he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. But not only that, he also says how the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. Verse number 6, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He says elsewhere in Psalm 16, verse number 6, the lines are fallen onto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And no matter what we come through in life, we can truly say that God has been so gracious to us. And God has blessed us in so many ways. God's people today are a blessed people because we're saved. We've heard the gospel. We have fellowship with others of like precious faith. We have a place to worship. We have a word of God to read in our own mother tongue. We have the promises of God. And we're living in a day when we go onto the computer, onto the internet, and we can watch sermon after sermon after sermon of good, wholesome, scriptural teaching that will bless our soul. We truly have been blessed. But also, David has had enemies against him, and the Lord has blessed him and protected him. David had fallen, but the Lord has lifted him up again. Oh, how bountifully the Lord has dealt with us. You know, that word bountifully, it means to be treated well. To be treated well. And friend, God always treats his children well. God always treats his children well. You know, sometimes I hear that accusation, well, where is your God when this is happening? Someone sadly is killed or stabbed. And they say, well, where's your God? As if God had done it. The anger isn't directed towards the sinfulness of man or the wickedness of man or the hardness of man. No, it's directed towards God. Friend, you read the word of God. God deals well with his people. But not only that, he makes resolutions here. Resolutions. He resolves to trust in God's mercy. I have trusted in thy mercy. The word mercy really means love. And all that God permits in your life, he permits in love. Why is God allowing this virus to bring so much fear? Well, we read in the Word of God that God does send pestilence upon wickedness. God will only allow wickedness to go so far, and then he'll step in. And I know that many people over this past week have started to ask for prayer, and others have started to think about spiritual matters. I know many ungodly people have been shaken. And I trust and pray they'll not just be shaken, they'll be convicted. Come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sin. But let's be real. Our world, our country, Northern Ireland, has mocked God. We pass laws that are complete defiance of God's word. And whenever that objection has been brought up, those in authority said, we don't care. This is what we want. And friend, it seemed to be that wickedness was prevailing. But God has stepped in. God has stepped in. I know even for God's people, we've had time to get alone with God, to truly read and to truly pray. And I know this God will bring his people through. You see, trusting in the Lord, you trust that God has a plan and a purpose for all that happens in your life. But not only does he trust in God's mercy, he rejoices in God's salvation. And while we may not be able to understand what the Lord is doing, there is always something that we can rejoice in, no matter how dark the hour, and that is that we are eternally secure in his hand, safe within the covenant of grace, saved by the precious blood of Christ. And friend, that will always bring joy to the believer. That will always bring joy to their heart, because they've been saved from hell, saved from the wrath of God, saved from living a life of wasted years. And praise the Lord for our salvation, and that always will bring joy into the heart of God's people. But then there's a third resolution. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. When you start to realize God's mercy and his bountiful dealings with you, and when you start to rejoice in his salvation, then you will find that there is a song in your heart, a song of praise. Some people really disparage singing. They feel it's not a very important part of the church service. But I read of the Lord putting a new song in our mouths. I read of a command to praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto the Lord. It is biblical. It honors the Lord. It is good for the soul. The psalmist says in Psalm 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise unto my God while I have my being. One of the most appropriate hymns probably for the current circumstances in our hymn book is, when you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even times sad. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Let us press on then, never despair. Live above feeling. Victory's there. Jesus can keep us so near to him that nevermore our faith shall grow dim. How long is this going to last? I don't know. But I do know that God will give us grace to come through this, even praising his name. Maybe, dear Christian, you feel overwhelmed and have done for some time and almost ready to throw your hands up and say, what's the point? We've all been there. Do what David did in this prayer. He honestly told the Lord how he felt. He prayed for blessing and specific requests. And in doing so, the Lord brought to his heart the fact he was saved, and he rejoiced in the Lord with singing and praise. One Bible commentator writes, it was but a moment ago that this man had asked, how long shall I have sorrow in my heart? But now the sad heart is flooded with sudden gladness. He has exercised faith by going to God in prayer, and faith can see an uprisen light in the thickest darkness and hear the birds singing amongst the branches even when the trees are bare and the air is silent. Faith believes that what God says is true. In John 13:7, the Lord Jesus Christ said, what I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Friend, we do not know why or how long, but we can still trust him to bless us. We can still leave our burdens before him. And we can still live for his glory with a song in our heart, because Jesus is the center of our joy. May God grant that in our homes this week and in our lives. And dear listener, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, praise the Lord, there's someone who can take away the burden of your sin, give you life and peace and cleansing within. If you will come to him, turning from your sin and trusting in the finished work of the Son upon the cross of Calvary, and praise God, you can know my Savior too, and know it is well with your soul. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, and we praise thee for this word to our hearts. We pray, Lord, what has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. What has been of thee, let it live on and prosper. Bless our congregation, bless those who are watching today. Lord, take away the fear out of the hearts of thy people. Help us, Lord, to get before thee in prayer and to know that sweet blessing and the joy that floods our heart whenever the Lord meets with us there. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, we've all asked how long, and we don't know the answer, but we know however long this will last, there will be special grace, blessings and mercies for every moment from the Father's hand. And therefore we rest in thee, our shield and our defender, praising thee in the name of our Saviour and for his glory alone. Amen.